The Holy Gospel this morning is from Matthew, the third chapter, starting at the 13th verse. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Last week I went on vacation to California, where I spent some time hiking and swimming and sightseeing. California Highway 1 follows the Pacific coast with a winding path that winds through the mountains with a drop-off that is truly breathtaking and dizzying. So it's best you not look down. As we were winding our way south on Highway 1, night started setting in, making the road ahead even more treacherous than it was before. That's when I started noticing road signs ahead. Deer crossing, cows crossing, tractor crossing. And then the signs that filled me with dread. Caution, falling rocks ahead. Caution, steep turn ahead. And then this one, danger, tsunami zone. Exit that way. And that's when the fog rolled in, the heavy fog. This seemingly beautiful roller coaster ride had suddenly become anxiety producing. Instead of feeling like I was starring in some new car commercial zooming around the corners, at once I started to wonder, how much further? When will we reach the flat ground? When can I finally relax? The weight of my responsibility as driver of this car came into view for me, and I got nervous. How often does God place in our path warning signs telling us to wake up, to pay attention, to proceed with caution, and to take seriously our responsibilities that lie ahead of us? In Minnesota, we have severe summer storms. It's common to have a tornado watch, which is a signal just to be alert, to watch. But then when the watch turns into a warning and we hear the siren, that's when we know to leap into action, right? We grab our family, our friends, our pets, and we take shelter. We take shelter from the storm that's coming. Friends, we are in the midst of such an impending disaster. The sirens have blown. The signs are clear. The fog is rolling in. And it's time to sit up and take notice. This past week, we witnessed from afar the rising up of hate groups, the KKK and white nationalists in Charlottesville, Kentucky. Groups that declare that only some of God's people are greater than others, that white people are somehow the elite. Worse than that, these nationalists marched in the streets of a United States city to declare war on people who are Jewish or black. This is not about politics. This is about morality. This is about looking one another in the eye and seeing first and foremost that we all are children of God, made in the beautiful image of God. The violence that erupted this past week in Charlottesville, Kentucky, was shocking to witness, even on TV. Why would this happen in Charlottesville, a largely progressive college town? That's what this article brought up. How hate came to a progressive university town. As I read, I found hate came because they started telling the truth about race. Because they started having conversations about the city's long history of racial discord. These conversations, intended to heal, have revealed a wound that goes back, way, way back, to before the founding of this country. All because they started telling the truth about race in their community. As a result, Heather Heyer lost her life this week in Charlottesville. As a result, this wound broke wide open, and now it needs to heal, but this time for good. Just 2 weeks ago, our Muslim siblings in Bloomington, Minnesota, just a few miles down the road, were at their morning prayers when someone threw a bomb into their mosque. In the past week, extremists have used vehicles to mow down countless innocent people in Barcelona. And now this morning, I saw there was more violence in Finland. Two local Jewish community centers have received serious threats in the last year alone. These are our neighbors. These are our coworkers, our friends. These are the people who live in Minnesota, and their lives are at risk. My friends, God has placed these warning signs in our path. What are we to do about this? Lutheran pastor Martin Niemöller was imprisoned by the Nazis in 1938 because of his opposition to the platform of the Nazis, and was only released when the concentration camps were liberated by the Allies in 1945. But an imperfect witness he was. Initially, he supported Hitler, and he was at times admittedly indifferent to his Jewish neighbors. And yet, in the end, he realized his sin and expressed it in this well-known poem. First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. And then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I am not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one there to speak for me. Martin Niemöller was an imperfect witness to the gospel, as are many of us if we're honest. But that did not stop Niemöller from opening his mind, from evaluating his views, from repenting, and then becoming a powerful witness of God's love. I confess to you this day that I am also one of those imperfect witnesses. Sometimes I fail to tell the truth. Sometimes I have failed to speak and act in a courageous way to combat racism and hate. Sometimes I am afraid. But God calls us not to be perfect in our witness to the love of God, but we are quite required to act. We are required to be truth tellers who see the dangerous signs all around us and say, "This will not continue on my watch." Being a truth teller means that we must also look at ourselves, to see where we have not acted in love, to repent when we have been wrong, to listen to one another, to educate ourselves, to humble ourselves, and then to keep on loving our neighbors more fully. When God declares love for this world, remember John 3:16, it is love for this whole world. And we are to be bearers of that love and that truth. It is in our baptismal promises, actually, that Lamar will be making promises for him. We profess in our baptism to renounce all evil and all the forces that defy God. We promise to renounce all things that draw us away from God. And these are not promises to be taken lightly. These are our responsibilities as bearers of the gospel, as bearers of the Christ light into the world. Look at the gospel reading from today, and you will see what happened to Jesus when he was baptized. He was thrown into the desert. He was tested. He was tried. It was difficult. That, too, is our fate if we are to take seriously this call to be bearers of light in this world. Let's not wait to hold a candlelight vigil to remind our neighbors that we love them and that God loves them too. Let's spread this word that we love our Black and Latino and Muslim and Jewish and immigrant neighbors and others too. Our witness will not be perfect, but that's okay. We are just called to keep showing up, to keep showing up in love, to keep telling the truth and letting all of our neighbors know who taught us how to love. The Lord our God, whose image we see in their eyes. Thanks be to God. Amen.